Watch on Saturday, 7:30. Be Bama week.
Welcome to Relative Pitch.
This is Michael Stress Week because he's stressing about this game. Because, you know, I'm glad he brought this up because only one person on this podcast actually went to the school.
That's correct. You know what? You had said a fact. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, because I did. I have the degree and the money to show it came out of my account that I went there. So, yes, go Dawgs. If that's what we want to start with, go Dawgs.
I guess. Sports has started, y'all. For the girlies who don't know what's going on, me neither. Just here to have fun.
What's a good excuse for cookouts, good food, good libations? Like, that's, you could make good excuses.
That's what I like about football season is that the amount of cookouts and grills, things, and what are those things called?
Tailgates?
Yes.
How do I know that?
Oh.
Because that's,
come on, the, UGA.
That's the only come thing you go for is tailgates. Honestly, same. I go for the experience of football. I don't go for the actual sporting of football. That's something I learned while being at UGA and being a TA of, like, I don't know what in the world these eight, how many men is on the field?
11.
11 men. I don't know what they're doing. I clap when other people clap. I boo when other people boo.
And 11 like total or 11 on each team?
11 on each team.
So 22 men in total. Yeah.
11 men. I was right. Y'all make me. I was like,
you're the resident football person on this podcast.
But also, my kids have paws.
Okay.
Anyway,
I will say that this week has been a very eye-opening week. It's in the music community, and specifically the band music of that part of music community, where we are mourning the loss of Dr. Robert Carnahan, the conductor of the University of Miami Frost School of Music One Ensemble. Such a kind man, lovely to be around. Our dealings together has always been positive. When I found out the news about that, I didn't know how to feel. Mm-hmm. And I think all three of us, we've all met him. You know, one of the funniest things that I can remember is being at Midwest and he comes give me a hug and you know, he was always very warm and embracing. And it just hit. And you know, in the music community, when someone is taken before it's their time, especially when they're a kind human, the whole community feels that loss. And that is something I saw this week, is everyone is feeling that loss all around. And that just speaks to the volumes of how of a good person he was in the space that he filled. And it's truly going to be a big loss for us. And I know even now, with him being gone, his legacy is still around. And you really, it's those moments where you start to, those friendships that you have, you start holding them closer. Like some of my conducting friends, you know, we kind of sent out texts like, you know, this week really showed us the power of friendship. We are in many different places, but we, you know, I love you. We have shared so many memories together because you never know when it's going to be your last day. So say the beautiful things that you need to say to the people who you love now. Give them their flowers while they are on this side of the earth. Don't let anything go unsaid. Life is too important, too precious, but it's very unpredictable.
And I seconded that. Like, I was literally watching a University of Miami Frost Wind Ensemble, like, video that morning. And then Like I got the new, like Anthony texted me and I was like, no. And it's just like, and like that like changed the week. Like a lot of my kids were like, hey, what do I practice? Like, I'm like, I have no time to be a human. I said, I need you to figure out where you can take breaks in your day and where you can just be a human and be with your friends and family. And I was like, Michael, you should probably take some of that medicine. We'll fix you over the weekend. And I was like, when everything with Carnahan happened, I said, let me go ahead and schedule these doctor's appointments and relook at my schedule and really see where I can stop and smell the roses instead of waving at the roses while I'm driving to my next thing. And I think it's like we need to take this as a painful thing, and it's a loss to the music community and the greater. We also need to take it to be like, okay, what can we learn from this? Carnahan seemed to be perfectly fine. And so we need to enjoy each other more on this earth and not take everything so seriously all the time.
I think there's been so many things happening within the music community and just in general in the world, what's going on politically, everything else within the school system. We've talked about a lot these first two episodes of this new season, and it is a lot, and it's so easy, especially like, students. Hi, I'm this is the week where I start. Actually, the day this drops will be my first day of what I'm intending to be my last like year of my public education life, right? And it's like absolutely like I'm so excited. And I also know that there are gonna be a lot of moments of like, dude, let's get it done, et cetera. But I don't want to feel like I'm just going through the motions and letting time and being present pass me by, because like any loss like this, but especially such a public loss where you can evidently see how much impact this person has had in so many people's lives, really puts into context like you can have all the degrees, the achievements, your CV can be racked up, etc. But when you really take a moment to think about what matters, it's the people. Right, in your lives, it's the relationships that are in your lives. It's like the people who impact you, whether it was like the lady who you talked to at the coffee shop that morning who made you feel really special, to a teacher who's been in your life forever, to your best friend, your mom, whoever. When you have those moments, you just think about people. And like I tend to really love allowing myself, whenever I think of someone, dream of someone, to be like, reach out and go, hi, just thinking about you. Hope you're okay. Hope you're well. And you, like someone I think just mentioned, take the opportunity to do it as soon as you can. I know it feels sometimes like, oh, I just got to get through the week. I just got to get through this. And sometimes you have to, right? Sometimes it is, there's so much going on in your world, and you're like, I don't have the capacity to think about anything past what I am right now. But if you do have that capacity, if you can take one breath, take a minute, set a timer, 3 minutes. And just say, these are my 3 minutes right now. They belong to only me. Use it to rest if you need to. Use it to close your eyes, or use it to send that text message. Use it to send that email. Whatever you need to, because you don't want to have any regrets. You want to be able to tell everybody in your life who matters that they matter to you.
Absolutely. So we are with the family, the friends, and all the loved ones with Dr. Carnahan, and may he rest eternally in peace. Because it is a loss for me, it's a loss for others, it's a loss for all of us. And so I wanted to just take the time, and just let everyone know, reach out to those people and tell them, I'm thinking about you, I love you, we're all here. Because one of the things about Dr. Carnahan, he had a close circle of conductor friends where, they became like, brothers. And, some of them shared, like their children grew up with each other. So now it's like uncles and, things like that. And just seeing that like group who, for me, look up to because they're like, top in the conducting world, and to see them mourn the loss. it just shows you that the friends that you make in music, they stay forever in your life, no matter what. They stay together. So it's important because they become your family. Those are now your family, your extended family. So just always just remember that and keep them close. Keep them close.
Man, it's when these things happen, I don't know, like this, I feel like loss has been a very big thing the past. I mean, it's been, the loss has been a thing forever, right? Grief has been a thing that we've all had to deal with in various forms. I feel like it's been the front of a lot of people's minds, especially in the last 4 years with COVID and everything that has happened. Yes, it is still something to talk about because of how much to think about now 4 years, right? 2024, going on five, that we've had this time period where it feels like there's been a lot of loss, lots of changes. And honestly, there's pockets of opportunity within these moments, right? Where we have saw people throughout pandemic where there was loss, people lost jobs, they lost people, loved ones, but also there were opportunities to like take a moment to think and take a moment to go, am I in the place that I want to be in right now in this moment? And students, hey, you can do that while you're in your degree program. You can do that as a freshman, as a sophomore, as a junior, as a senior. You can do it at the start of the school year. You can do it at the end of the school year. Teachers, in your first year in that position, you can take a moment to check in and go, what's going on? How am I feeling? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like sometimes I don't remind myself. I'm trying to remind myself more that I have the opportunity every single day at any single second to choose something different if that is what I find to be the best thing for me, you know? Choice. We have choices that we can make every single day. Some of them are hard. Some of them are harder. Hopefully you have people in your life who you can talk to when these things come up, because sometimes we can't control our thoughts, right? Thoughts just kind of boop, 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 at any given moment. Just because you consider something doesn't mean you have to do it. This is why you have people who you can say, oh, randomly the other day, I thought about what it would be like if I changed careers.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing scary about admitting something like that, right? It's just like, it was a thought. I don't think I'm going to do it. I don't think there is genuine. I think it just was something that crossed my mind, but it led me to going down this path where I'm figuring out why I was even thinking that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you start to think about other opportunities, it is your choice. You have the right to have a choice. And it is a scary thought. And I will also recommend that don't let a choice lead you astray as well. Like if you're thinking about doing some things, make sure you go down that avenue and say, okay, let me actually think about this. Let me actually see what a plan looks like. Because the difference between just having a choice and thinking about it and then acting on the choice, you got to set your foundation. You got to set your foundation. If you're going to choose to do something, you know, walk, okay? Don't run, walk. But before you walk, you got to make sure something is steady first. So know that it is okay to, you know, think about something. Just make sure you're ready for something new. And we've all here have had many choices that have led us to where we are today. But we also knew, okay, if I do this, then this is how I'm going to do it. And make sure you're doing it for you and not for somebody else, something else. Because if you do something for somebody else and you end up not liking it, you're going to be the one to suffer from it.
On you. Mm-hmm. The other night, we were, I was hanging out with some people. And we like discussed two different things. One was realizing our alternate universes. Like, you know, that little bit of like, you could have said yes to this. Like I was two shakes from a lamb's tail from right out of my master's being a high school band director. Lauren and Anthony, y'all remember that?
I do.
Briefly.
Like Woo! Would have that been very different and set me off on a completely different path? You know what I mean? And at the time, I was like, oh no, I ain't got no benefits. I could have walked, I had this salary. And now I'm like, I love my life. I was also a step or two away from going straight to my doctorate. And so, like, realizing those universes, and I give myself every once in a while, like 5 minutes, just to be like, what would I be doing if I said yes to certain things? I'm like, well, I didn't. So I'm here and life is good. And then to go off of what Anthony just said, make sure you're making the decisions for you. Something I struggle with as a professional and something I've struggled with is the quote unquote prestige of a certain thing and the non-prestige of other things. Like, oh, I get to go work with this band that's doing all this stuff, or you can go work with this other band. That's a really good time and it's a fun time. And maybe they don't go play at GMEA or Midwest or VMEA or FMEA or TMEA, but it's great people and great kids. And it's just like, does this prestige thing actually matter? Are we gaining actual clout? Or is all just this like the cloud, like the Apple cloud that's up there? And so you can't bring it down, it's just up. And so I think about the cloud a lot too. I'll just sit in my bed. I'm like, I paid $2.99 for a whole terabyte of a cloud. Where does cloud be?
You actually
So
pay for part of the cloud?
I do. I pay for a lot of the cloud because I have to back up all my devices. I can't lose nothing. Because you know I'm a hoarder in real life, so I have to be a hoarder in electronic life too.
This makes sense.
Like, I don't throw away anything. There, my trash thing is empty because I don't throw nothing away. I just shove it in other folders. I
That's
think I shoved it in a folder called trash, but I don't put it in the trash.
Crazy. That now that is insane behavior. Close to my
Anyways, we're not hopping on Michael. We've avoided it so far.
It's
But
not
yeah,
as
really
fun.
think about, is this prestige thing real or is it just in your head real? And really start making decisions for you and what you deem best for your life. And not what's best for other people's lives because they ask you to do things. Just because someone asks you to do something doesn't mean you have to do it. It's because they asked you because they like you or they like what you do.
Well, I always think about what is the impact going to be on my life? Is it going to be a soft impact where, I go do something and soft meaning like, okay, that was actually fun. It actually gave me something good and I have taken something in a positive way. Or is this going to be a hard impact? Is this going to be something that will make me really start to question things in a wrong way? Will this stay with me? And every time I think about it, I will always think this was the worst decision I've ever made. What is the impact that is going to be on me? Because look, you as humans, we're going to have those things where there are some things that you like, I should have never done that. Never. So you got to ask yourself, what is the impact going to be? So whenever you start questioning something or somebody asks you to come do something, ask yourself, what is this impact going to be on me? And do I have the space right now to do this, both physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually?
The emotional one.
Because yeah, you might you and that's the other thing. I'm glad you said emotional. You might physically be able to do something, but them other three with the LLYs at the end is saying, they're not aligned. They're not aligned.
It's not also, if you can, but should you?
But should
That is the Michael toxic trait.
that is a
I
Michael toxic trait.
can
That is a Michael toxic trait.
stack more things on my day, or as Lauren.
Oh,
Lauren would say it. Your fingers kind of look like the Grinch fingers. You know, they have
wait.
like.
Right, Lauren has to be going.
Lauren got the. I got flats. Anyways, I have been a known person to like a double decker bus stack the hell out my day. But should I? And
Mm.
especially in the wake of what happened this week, it's leaning toward, sitting on your couch, playing retro bowl, college level, trying to be the best college football coach ever, and watching YouTube slash Hulu slash Netflix sounds like much better than teaching my 10th lesson of the day.
Do y'all remember in undergrad when little old undergrad Anthony would be in his bed watching YouTube, scrolling on YouTube all Saturday and Sunday, and all of you would be like, "Why are you doing that?" I ooh, oh, see, you turned the camera off because you were the one
Guilty.
guilty. That's just showing guilty because that has always been me, and anybody can tell you that too. That, honey, y'all not gonna work me to my deathbed. That's one thing about it. Like, I love what I do. I love working, but I'm gonna take my time because that's the other thing about working, and especially in music, people will work you to death
They
because
will.
what your work is your talent. So they're like,
Yes.
oh, you should be fine. You should be fine. You should love that you're getting paid, or you should love doing this. You should love teaching. Honey, I'm going insane. And especially as a teacher, you don't want me to be on my last fuel in my tank. Because if I'm on my last fuel, oh, everything is off. I will become the most terrible person. And I'm gonna end up doing something that I should not. I'm gonna be like, tell these children, you know what? You can just sit here and look at the paint dry because I'm sick. I'm tired.
I feel myself, when you're gas gauge
Yep.
and that warning level, I have realized what my when my warning level is. It's my, I'm like, okay, five and six and five, six, seven, eight, go. Why are you not playing it? I have instructed you to play this in a certain way. This is the fourth time I have told you to play this way. Why is it not going through your skull?
Yes. That's when
I
you
have given you
turn
everything in my breath to tell you how to do this. And you sit there, and that's when I go on a rant and I start giving a sermon. I'm like, you sit there and you suck and you choose to continue to suck. So,
around.
how about we sit here and talk about our feelings and talk about why we choose not to get better? I am all ears.
You know
And I'm
what?
like, and then I send an email and I'm like, I am so sorry.
Right.
That was on me. That was not on you.
Right, I lost it.
And literally, I do a nowadays, I apologize. Back then, I doubled down. I said they did.
Something that is funny in what I'm seeing in the education world, because at the beginning of the school year, we always have the like teacher workday trainings, and they give you all those sessions or whatever. So like a couple years ago, before COVID. The rhetoric was, if a child is, not doing what you're supposed to do, blah blah blah, like make sure you establish yourself like what you have to say. Now it's like don't have a power struggle with a child. Like
No.
don't. Because the thing is, you're gonna lose it. You're gonna lose it. Because especially after that fourth time, after I have instructed you how to play this one rhythm, and you still playing on beat two when I said don't play on beat two. I done told you
That's
to
my
stomp
beat.
on
That is
beat two.
my beat.
Like, I have told you to stomp on beat two. I've told you to shh on beat two. I've told you one, two. Like, I have given you everything in my brain to tell you not to play on big beat two. That's when you know what? You have to get off the podium or get from wherever you're teaching from, turn your head, blow it out, count from 10 down, and just say, we'll come back to this later.
Amen.
There you
Because the kids are gonna look at you like this. They're gonna be like this little clarinet. They're gonna
go. And
be
damn, that is what's gonna throw you over the edge right there.
I'm just, and it's always in clarinet players. They just like,
I didn't play on B2. That is what will throw you over the
And they
edge.
will say, I didn't play on B2. And the flute player is like, we didn't play on B2.
Period. Because we didn't.
And but you did.
Okay, but y'all were flat. Y'all were flat.
Well, no, they ain't flat. They ain't flat. They use so much vibrato, you can't tell what they is because they don't know what note they playing. They just vibrato in the note.
I know the trumpets aren't talking.
Hey, but I know, you better sit your front row butt down.
I will. And
I, you know what? I'm gonna start investing in wigs. So in this moment, I could put on a wig and then flip my hair.
Great. Turn.
Skewed.
Skewed. No, I'm telling you, because don't have a power trip. Because when you have a power trip, and this goes for not just teaching, but in any workplace, don't. I feel like the older generation, like I had this conversation, they're like, your generation doesn't want to engage in debates. And I'm like, yeah, what's the point? Michael will debate you. You can debate with Michael. I will literally get up and walk away. But I have done that. I will literally walk away. Because I'm not giving you my time, my energy. And especially when I can tell nothing is going to change. Nothing I'm going to say to you is going to change your mind. So why am I expelling my beautiful air to this conversation? I'm just going to leave. Mm-mm. That's it.
Reactions.
It's true.
But with all that, you know, we in teaching and everything, especially going back to the scenario of, you know, don't play on beat two, we have to remember that the children are learning so many things in their little bitty heads. Of all their content areas, from reading, writing, arithmetic, to counting 1, 2, 3, and 4.
You can't say the 3 R's. They don't teach that no more. They teach everything under the sun, but the 3 R's.
I mean, in some form, reading, writing, and arithmetic is there.
But they've complicated it.
Okay, I will say I just saw a Twitter video of what is it, Gen Alpha doing a simple adding. That's the like babies. That's like the
more
us them.
No. Us, Gen Z, Gen Alpha.
See, that's
so they're like the kids in like young grades, like
they're in like first, second, third grade.
Primary school. Yes. Yeah. No, that math be crazy. Like middle schoolers be showing me their math, and I'm like, I know my math. I knew my math. This don't look like my math.
My math made sense. Your math? Like this little boy was like, how do you, I think it was like 64 plus 18. And obviously, you know, for us, what we would do, you would add the ones column, then carry over, then add the tens column, then you got your answer. So what they do nowadays is that they put it into a chart. So they're like, okay, there are 6 10s that goes in the 10 category. There's 8 1s in this category. Then 13, that's 1 10 here. But then there's 3 over here in the ones. And they like just do. And I was like, honey, by the time you show me one problem, your work for one simple addition problem, your whole white page of paper you used to get for the CRCT test, the state over. Test, is gone. Over.
What you gonna do? Also, did you say 64 plus 18?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just wanna make sure I got my math right.
What's the math?
Oh, it's 82. So it's
82. No, Michael, show your work. Show your work.
Hey, but
read it. See, that's how we learn how to do the math.
And also, When I was in school, and I don't know if other people were like this, because there are certain subjects I was good at and some subjects I wasn't. I also was not the best student. Let's just put that out there. I never tried.
But somehow he ended, never mind. Let me not. We're not getting Michael today.
So math I would get my most points taken off in math because I did it all up here. And then I would just write down the answer and it would be right. But then they minus two on every question because you didn't show your work. Well, maybe with your big bad butch self, I didn't have to show my work.
But
You
then
do
when you
because you
would
don't know
have
how to do it.
question wrong.
Well, then mark the question wrong. But if I got it right, then why are you asking questions?
Because I believe the instructions, see, you must then read the instructions because I'm sure the instructions said to show your work for
And
each.
you know what also instructions say? Instructions give us a key signature that obviously people don't know how to read key signatures anymore. Literally today, someone was like, on a B natural. I said, babe, D. And they said,
Well,
look at the
what
key.
you're saying is that you, along with the people who are doing that, is illiterate.
First, woo! Ain't wrong. I am not the best comprehensive reader. I know that. Baby, I've been reading the same sentence four times and I just give up.
What's always funny is that I give Michael something to read and he'll get overstimulated. And this is how you know when Michael is like to the point where he puts his hand around his abdomen.
Just can't. Because here's the thing, if I'm reading, it takes every mental
Lauren is
facility to
laughing.
comprehend.
Lauren is laughing because she like I'm sure she thought her had a specific moment of seeing you.
It happened at the table that I'm sitting at. Lauren was listening to something snapping with her loud snappers. And then Anthony was just watching some TikTok and laughing. And I'm over here like, they told me to read this. And now they're making all this noise. And I was like, can we stop?
Oh,
Yes.
I love it. I
It
love it.
takes every facility. And then Lauren and Anthony will give me something to read. And they know I'm a little slow. And then they take it away from me. And I'm not even halfway through.
First of all, you had the phone for at least 3 minutes and 26
And I'm
seconds.
so. Well, you want me to comprehend or read it? I can read it and not comprehend nothing. Baby, I got them skills.
And
That's why I emails.
this is why we are calling for action to reform of the Georgia education system right
No,
here.
we need to revoke No Child Left Behind because as products of No Child Left Behind, evidently Michael was left behind. I believe me is fine. No shade. I'm sorry. I said no shade on Michael Day. I said no shade on Michael Day. I feel like you need to take that up with George Bush.
Anthony,
W.
W.
what was your GPA coming out of high school?
Oh, let's not do this.
Oh, wait a minute. Do you really want to know? Because I'm
Yeah,
sure
let's go
it's
there.
higher than yours.
Let's go there. Let's
Let's not do
That was a
this.
3.76.
Oh, you had a seven?
Oh, wait a minute. And
Girl, mine was a 3.89. Check it, baby.
oh, and see, that's how we know that your school that you went to was just a walk in the park.
I know you ain't talking about your school in your county that has multiple. Never mind. Let me not. I'm about to
No,
go too far.
I mean, we can go there if we want
I'm
to. But
about to go too far.
you know what? Here's the thing about me. I'm gonna talk about what you got, but I'm gonna also tell my own tea too. So while since you want to go down that road, let's ooh, you're making me drop my stuff. See, you get me mad. You get me mad. You get me mad. Because first of all, let's not act like you was like, oh yeah, I skipped like all three periods because I was over there on the river drinking not Hennessy, Jack Daniels on the river of a nasty river
First of
in Macon,
all,
Georgia.
I
Oh
would show
my.
up late, and then I brought my AP Starbucks, and she wrote me a pass.
And
You
then
damn skippy.
the principal is letting you just come into school whenever you want to.
But baby, them grades were grading. Them grades were grading.
Michael, you didn't even turn any grades to be graded. They just gave you them grades because you weren't in class.
I was in class when I
No.
needed to be in
And then
class.
Michael, and then let's also talk about you really cannot comprehend what we be putting down.
It takes me longer. That doesn't mean I can't comprehend. So you gonna look at somebody and be like,
Michael, what
wow,
was
it
your
takes a little
opening
bit
GPA of
longer.
college? What was your
What'd you
opening
say?
GPA? What was your opening GPA of
Woo!
college?
Well, my opening GPA first day of college was a 3.83. Thank you.
First of all, everybody's other's first day of school is at a 4.0 because you start at an A and you go down from there.
Oh, I thought you just started your high school one.
See? Illiterate. Can't comprehend. You walked right into that one.
No, I just didn't know. That's not comprehending. That's just not knowing. And as a good friend and good educator, you should have led me to the next answer. Instead, what we're doing in Georgia, which is punishing, putting down. That's why our literacy scores are so low. That's why only 31% of third graders and eighth graders read below or at their level.
Wait,
Actually, I think it's only 31 that read at their level. Let me double check.
that's why I was like, let's clarify that statistic because
Right.
one of them is pretty good, I think. The other
Yeah,
one,
if 81% is reading.
I said 31. 32% of fourth graders and 31% of eighth graders were proficient in reading. That means 68% of fourth graders were not, and 69% of eighth graders were not. So as Anthony,
Third graders.
third and eighth. Anyway, so as Anthony, I was instructing, you should have led me to the answer and helped me instead of putting me down
First of
and
all,
right.
you at your big grown age, and as you would love to say, whenever time you get in an argument, I got 2 degrees, I'm a trumpet professor at a university, da, 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 da. You should have led yourself to the right answer. That's what you should put your critical thinking skills on.
I rely on the people around me because we are all the combination of people around us.
Accommodation? Is that the word you're choosing in that sentence?
Combination.
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 I thought you said accommodation, baby.
No, not accommodation. You being real spicy tonight.
I'm just
Medium.
saying. But that is an alarming statistic. And it's just not in Georgia. It's everywhere. I don't know. I don't know what system we're on now, because when we were in school, we were under the No Child Left Behind Act,
We're still under
which
that.
are
Aren't
we?
we? I mean, you still cannot fail a child.
What do you mean you
What?
can't fail a child?
No, if you put, you cannot fail a child. A minimum, if they earn a zero and the grade book goes a 50.
59.
Sorry, 59. I
But
know that.
I knew that was during COVID, but, and I think it's depending on what state and what district you're in, because I do have zeros in my grade book right now, and
Now,
they
will
have
they be
not.
zeros at the end of the 9 weeks?
I'll report back at the end of the 9 weeks.
There you go.
I know that during COVID, everything had to be a 59, but I think people have like went away from that. I felt like No Child Left Behind was ours, and then it went to like Common Core, the Common Core standards and stuff. And then now we're in this, it's weird because Texas does a completely different thing, and that's where I'm currently teaching right now. And they're on their own system. Texas likes to be in their own world. But same thing, what I'm noticing is students are having a really difficult time reading and comprehending what they read. Also, something that I thought was normal that you do in elementary school is sight words. Like I remember having vocabulary test on like every Friday of every week in first and second grade, just to like know words. And then you have a test to like understand what those words meant. And these kids don't do that anymore. So like I asked a kid, because we were learning the spaces of the treble clef, and they were having a tough time. And I said, okay, well, here's a hint. Face. Can you spell face? And they spell FACA. And I said, maybe I said it wrong. Like, maybe, you know, so I was like, let me repeat the question. Because face, you know, that's a word you learn first grade. So I said it and they doubled down on spelling it that way, FACA. And I was like, okay, we have a bigger issue than what we're doing in music. And in music, we only teach from A to G. A to G.
That's it.
That's it. So we have a problem. America, we have a problem.
America? America?
But I was, if we have problems with literacy in English and things, and then we have students who come to music, which music is a language of its own. And we are asking our students to perform on a level when the basic elements aren't established. That will inherently be a problem.
I'm just going to read a couple of sentences from 2 semesters ago. The voice does lots of jumps to higher notes. It then goes on to sound very sporadic. The singing then stops and focuses on her movements. The drums play over her movement. The singing at the beginning and the drums playing while she's moving is played as a celerando. The music texture is very loud and rough. The girl's voice and instruments seem like they are separate from each other. The same goes for the drums over her moving. The timbre feels low quality and very traditional to Chinese culture. That was a problematic sentence. I did address that. After movement part is over, the instruments match the singer's voice a lot more and sounds calmer and more put together.
This chat GBT, what is this?
This is a college student on a writing assignment.
May I say, we need to talk more to the youngs. Like, and I don't mean talk more about like just like little things, but like have some deep conversations where they actually express feelings and they use descriptors and they describe things. Because right now, the conversations you often hear in these classrooms are TikTok little whatever things that they're saying and they're thinking, and they can't
That.
sit and read descriptive, colorful, but go read. When's the last time you saw a child with a book in their hand? Like, and I'm sorry, I'm sitting here like as someone being like I would run through books. And like it like and I there used to be you had to read a certain number of books a year, right? Like in classes and everything, and you
Some
read short
AR points.
and
I
you get
never
the
had.
points, like all these, and you because you're taking in all this language, your own language gets formed by it. You hearing your sibling, older siblings, your parents, people at the store, people at church talk, use descriptive language, helps you build in your own language. And it feels like there's a lack of that. They can talk about random things going on, you know, on social media, but when you ask them to like sit down and say, what do you hear about this piece? What do you hear about this song? It doesn't even have to be a classical piece of music. Can you just talk about what you're hearing in this song? And they just are like, oh, it's nice. I like it.
Literally, I had to ban the words, and this is different from like Anthony teaching and like other people. I banned the words good, bad, nice, and pretty from both my private lessons, coachings, and my music appreciation class. I'm like, I need you to be descriptive. Now, and different from Anthony and Lauren, I didn't like to read, but I love to debate. And so, like, I had to develop a vocabulary when, like, debating people because I love to be the devil's advocate. But that right there could have been fixed. And this is like my reading. That sounds like a lot of my first drafts, to be honest, because I just go stream of consciousness and I'm just going. But then you just speak the sentences and you're like, wow, that just didn't feel right. And to think about saying it. So then you like break it down and do that. Like, I suck at writing. I'd rather give lectures at any moment in time. So like I know myself, and like we literally, after receiving all my first listening responses this week, is literally like, hey, I'm gonna read this to you. I want you to describe what you hear. And so I'm having to adjust my music appreciation course to what our kids need. Like I'm in college having to fix like adjust writing, and I'm not even a writing class. So like, but these kids will never know how to format an email. I make it a rule on my syllabus. I show them how to format an email to me, and if they don't follow that format, I ignore their email. I literally press trash. If they send me an email with no subject, trash. They send me an email without signing their name, trash.
I thought you didn't have a trash.
On my email box, not on my desktop.
Well, that. I will say, and this is from what we do, how can we expect something from our students when we haven't taught them these things? So when their vocabulary isn't where it needs to be, that's a reflection for me of saying, wow, I haven't taught that to them because they don't know how this is. And sometimes that's when they're in high school. Sometimes it's when they're in college because they've never had to. And especially for your music appreciation kids, none of them are probably music majors. And so for them to describe music, it's nice. It's good. What else?
We went over
Well, and that's the thing. But how many times do you have to go over something for somebody to really comprehend what it is? And
right.
that's like what, but the thing about it is, if you had a decent literacy in just general, coming from elementary on up, you could have more available descriptive words to say in this situation besides the normal, which goes back to the literacy rates that you were talking about. Of, well, they're not even reading the books and can describe what is good in the book, what's bad in the book, how this plays out, this and that. So when we ask them to do something in a foreign subject, yeah, of course they're clueless. They don't know what is going on, honey. It sounds like floating waterfalls. And I'll
Literally.
take that. It do sound like floating waterfalls. But let's unpack that.
I feel like maybe something that can be done, because sometimes with students, when they're in your classroom, rarely is it that, well, I won't say rarely, but not all the students who are in there, that's not their favorite class, right? Maybe it's math, maybe it's science, maybe they really, really, they have an older sibling who is a chef and they really love food, or they love reading, or whatever, all this, you know what I mean? And maybe something to help frame, like, the fact that they do have these descriptive skills and they do have the ability to think deeply about something they enjoy, is by saying, pick something that you really enjoy doing. If it is food, if it's culinary, okay, talk about your favorite meal. Talk about the last meal that you had with your family that you really enjoyed. And they can go, oh my God, well, it was this, you know, they start describing, oh, well, we were in this location and it was this, and it was because, like, it was a birthday, or it was my birthday. And we started off with, I really love lemon because it's super zesty, but I like it when it's paired with this. And then you start seeing, and for them, you can help go, now you see how you just described that with all that depth. Now, what we have to do is figure out what music, or if you're a music teacher, like, what's gonna get you there, like, in that? What are you looking for? Where do we find the zest for you, et cetera? Because it is possible. We are imaginative. Children are creative people, just period. There's so much that they see around them all the time. It's about pulling it out of them, and some of them, it's gonna take a little bit more love, more repetition
A
for
little bit.
them to get there, but it's possible.
Yeah.
When I teach sectionals now, because of the things I see happening in the state of Georgia, at least where I'm teaching and stuff, I literally, after we get done playing a section, I'm like, okay, I need three people to describe to me how we got better in full sentences, and how you can do this at your home in group practice. Then also, I need to describe what it sounds like from your perspective. And so then what I also now, I ask them, I point at people, I'm like, what note are the trumpets missing? And they'll show me the fingering. I'm like, ah, what note are the trumpets missing? And they'll fumble a little bit. I'm like, okay, great. So since this is a lyrical piece, we're gonna chant in Gregorian chant style. A, B, C, A, B, G. And I want you to chant your note names. And if you don't know them, you can't write them in. I do not allow my kids to write them in. I will be the bad person, because I need them to start connecting this brain to this eyes, to then connect the eyes to the brain, to the ears, to the mouth, to play the notes. And so if that means we have to go a little slower, I don't, Lauren, Lauren, Lauren.
I was like, how did you do it so fast? Like,
This is a speech I've given a lot. And so does that mean I have to go slower in August, September, October, and November? I will go painfully slow. But December through May, we're going to go faster. So band directors, I understand the struggle you're in. Actually, I don't, because I don't run a conglomerate that is the band program. And people, band directors are CEOs. They are not just artist educators. They have to balance a budget. They have to create item lines. They have to hire staff. They have to do all this stuff. It is very hard. But you are doing a disservice to your kids and to yourself the more you teach by rote. If you have to teach by rote, then you need to sit down and trace back at what part of this thing did they stop understanding what they saw with their eyes? And where their eyes lead them wrong, where you have to tell them with their ears what to play. I know it's hard. I know it's gonna suck, but where it could take a year to fix your program, it takes these children a very long time, and it actually lowers what they can do later. Why would they go sit in an ensemble? Let's say these kids go to a major college. Let's say these kids go to UGA campus band, and all the kids around them are playing the heck out of this music because it's like, oh, we know how to do this. And they're sitting there like, I can someone tell me how to play this? Then they get discouraged. And then that later in life, they're pushed out of music when later they could become a major music donor or they could inspire music into their children.
Also, assume that all children want to do well. All students want to do well. They want to be able to read well. They want to be able to get good grades and show their friends, show their family. They want to be able to play well. Right? Some of them may just have a lot of insecurities. They may doubt themselves. They may have had other teachers who are telling them to quit. You never know what the full breadth of a student is. You see them maybe once a day, possibly, maybe. So I don't know. That's always what I try to go in with. And there's going to be difficulties. There's going to be so many difficulties. I'm not saying that to say every child, it is your responsibility to make sure. No. All we can say is, as an educator, try, even on the hard days, to remember that all students inherently want to do well.
Yes. All students learn differently, and all students deserve the well education. And something about rote teaching, it is not a bad thing. In fact, students learn from beginning in elementary school by rote. That's the first thing you learn. But as you go through the specifically 6 through 12 curriculum, it is about reading music. That's what every standard in every state is about, teaching the fundamental skills about reading music, not just note names, but rhythms and everything else that comes with it. So when you get to that point, that students aren't knowing certain things, it is time to just go back and either reinforce or say, they don't know this, so maybe I need to take time to make sure that they understand that. And sometimes that's in high school. Sometimes kids will go through many years of learning music and they really haven't learned much by the time they get to high school and sometimes even college. So I get it. And especially being in the beats when there's so much stuff is going on, honey, you just want to say the rhythm is da da da. Like it's so easy. It is so easy to do. But we want to make sure that the students understand that. And talking about students learn differently, some students will need to hear that, okay, this is what this sounds like. So now every time I see what this little sequence of rhythm looks like, I know what it sounds like.
Added it to the rhythm bank.
And
And
they're adding that to the bank. There is nothing wrong with that to me. There is nothing wrong with that because the student is learning what that looks like, what it sounds like. So when they see it, this is how it is played. But then as a good teacher, you take that and then you analyze it. Okay, here are the numbers that is under it. This is if it's seen in a different way, this is how you can dissect what this is. So taking it a little further. And I will say, when you have a class of like 60 people, when you have a band class, you can only do so much, especially if you're on a 45-minute class period. Things are moving
Yes.
fast. Things are moving
Correct.
fast.
I will not to cut you off, Anthony. I add with those, we preach student leadership so much. Let the section leader take them off into a practice room and break it down if they need to. Maybe like, hey, trumpets, y'all need to go in this closet. I need you to look at this one measure. Trumpet section leader, I need you to break it down so you don't waste class time. And then you really test your student leadership. Are you about that life? Or are they just fake leaders and they're just to babysit things? And if that is a thing, that's cool. If that's your program that they're there to babysit, that's your program. It ain't my program. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to put that on you, but I'm just saying if you do have student leadership and your leadership is strong, utilize them, especially if some are going to go into music in any capacity. But what Anthony said, like, okay, if you have X amount of students that need to hear it, X amount of students that need that can read it, how about you get the students that can read it to break it down and play it for them instead of you singing at them? So then they're starting to hear from students. And then you have students that play it, know how to play it, but some struggle reading it. You can use them together and cross-pollinate. So.
It's very it's such a good tool when the students is the student-led instruction. When the students can recall the information and be the teacher to let the other students know that this is how it goes, that it's very important. And for many standards, that's part of the standard is student-led instruction. So kind of incorporate those. But this would be a subject for another time. You know, when you get to about rote and people and students who learn by hearing versus learn by reading, that is not to say that their music talent is any less than.
Correct.
Because I will tell you right now, I know some people who cannot read a lick of music, but some of the best musicians, a lot of the church musicians that's tearing it up every Sunday
Talented.
are people who cannot read one note of music. But I'm sitting here like, how are you doing this? It's a marvel to me. So you, just know that, that is also a thing when you start thinking about how you're formulating your instruction as well, and the different personalities and different minds that is going to be in your classroom and what they need. But I will say, we love engaging these conversations, and we're going to continue as well. So for now, please thank you so much for joining us on another episode, and we'll see you next Wednesday. Bye.